Hey guys, it's Daxton.
And Hayden from Blondies Out Loud.
And if you've ever thought about starting a podcast or making money from one,
we use Creator Lab from Odyssey for our show, and it's honestly been so easy.
It's free hosting, and it gives you a really simple way to earn on top of whatever you're already doing.
Which, of course, we love because it just adds another stream without the extra work.
So, if you're a creator or podcast curious,
check it out at creators.odyssey.com.
The Dawn Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
Focusing on Pennsylvania just for a moment, and this is something that goes underreported. As you know, Governor Josh Shapiro, during his annual budget address, seeking to establish the Office of Gun Violence Prevention. What does that do, and what does that mean for you? So, of course, we want to stop violence. But what does this really do? And so my next guest is asking the same question, because is this a goal to track already licensed firearm dealers? And what does that look like for Pennsylvania's many legal, law-abiding firearm owners? So that's among the issues, although we want to talk to Senator Chris Dush about his latest piece in Crossing Broad and Liberty. But welcome in. It's great to have you to our state senator, Chris Dush.
Thanks, Don. It's good to be with you.
Absolutely. The headline was that you called the SEPTA operators chauffeurs, and obviously it's a tongue-in-cheek reference. But what do you see here as far as SEPTA funding, and what is your main concern here?
Well, actually, that wasn't even my I first heard that from some of my constituents who basically, you know, they have to drive upwards of 60 miles. Some of them, a lot of them, are driving long distances. And when Governor Shapiro took money from the roads and bridges in Pennsylvania, $153 million, and flexed it, as he said, to SEPTA, I had an awful lot of constituents who were very upset, and including... Actually, I have 7 of the 67 counties, and our area transportation agencies didn't see any of that $153 million. Leslie Richards did a poor job when she was the PennDOT director, and she obviously did a poor job while she was with SEPTA. When our people have to have their heads on up and on the road and watching out for deer and bear and other drivers, and SEPTA drivers or SEPTA users are sitting on the trains, they get a chance to catch up on social media. Or I've used SEPTA before. I worked as an insurance investigator out of Redley Township and Wilmington for a few years. And, you know, the commuters do get a chance. I mean, they can take their briefcases with their laptops and sit and get work done that my people can't afford to do. I mean, they got to keep their eyes on the road. And when the money is being taken from roads and bridges and put into that, while at the same time, and for decades, we've had things that have choked the economy up in the northern tier of Pennsylvania. And it's been policies set by legislators and others that has just choked our ability to grow. And my area is more to the western part of the state, mm-hmm. but our workforce has left. And I bring up the fact that there's not a state in the United States that doesn't have a Steelers bar in it. And that's our working class people.
Yeah.
The way they've choked the economy, our energy economy, I have a feeling with the massive increase in the bid price for electricity, simply because they've been shutting down my coal plant operations and my natural gas operations, and that's mostly coming from people that are in the southeast that really don't understand. We've got a lot of conservationists up there. Our area of the state is magnificently beautiful. We're conservationists. We're not environmentalists. The difference is the mental part. Mm-hmm. We'd love to see our economy grow, but for decades that has not been allowed to happen simply because of the regulations and the decisions of people like Secretary Richards not to assist the federal government in getting 219 finished. That's an international trade corridor that was supposed to run from Toronto to Miami, and it's the largest unfinished portion of that is in western Pennsylvania.
Yeah. So, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Well, and the one thing that I have to say, though, that the real crux of all this, mm-hmm. we're at a point right now where we're at a $5 billion structural deficit in just managing what we've got going on in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. $5 billion on a $47 billion budget. The money's not there, and we can't do like the federal government and print money. So I'm going to continue to fight for my people, but the problem is I have to tell them the same thing. My transportation authorities, I've been straightforward with them that we don't have money and to increase funding. If we level fund everything and only deal with the increases in mandated spending on human services, we're going to start the year next year $1 billion in the hole. Mm-hmm. The rainy day fund's going to be gone. Pennsylvania's going to be hurting, and then the massive tax increases that people are going to see, along with the massive energy increases, the prices for electricity and stuff. Pennsylvania's in a dire place if we don't mm-hmm. start doing some things to right the ship.
Yeah, I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events, major elections, world wars, scientific breakthroughs. But we also bring you into the smaller, behind-the-scenes stories, the unsung heroes, secret meetings, even personal grudges that changed the course of history. Listen to and follow History This Week, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with the History Channel. Available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
And Pennsylvania State Senator Chris Dush, we appreciate you joining us, and especially because my reference to the Crossing Broad story was that, you know, a lot of times, let's just be honest, the liberal-controlled, liberal-leaning media, if somebody just even Googled or searched your name with SEPTA, there's a lot of negative and misinformation out there. And so, you know, part of this is I want to give you that chance. We want to let this breathe and give you a chance to say, this is what's really going on, because I think on social media, unfortunately, a lot of people get their news from social media, et cetera. And so it's right. It's important to me that, you know, we give people the real story and what's really going on, and not these sort of juicy, biased headlines that we continue to see. So that's really why I wanted to give you the breathing room, if you will, to answer this. As I know that you represent the 25th District of Pennsylvania, more rural area. For me, I'll just be honest, I'm a longtime Philadelphia resident. You know, one of the things that I see is SEPTA, the way that they really keep SEPTA afloat as well is we don't have school buses for school kids here in Philadelphia who are above, especially for high schoolers, but even middle school. You know, if you're in a junior high school age, you're taking SEPTA. And part of the reason I feel like kids are getting sort of pimped, if you will, in all of this, or a pawn, is because that's in part the way they justify keeping all of this, you know, keeping SEPTA and all of this money that goes to SEPTA. Why don't you give the kids, if we talk about equality rather than equity, whatever, all these, why don't we, you know what I mean? Give them the equality that the suburban kids have. Why don't Philadelphia children of every age, every school, have the same school bus service like all the kids in the rest of Pennsylvania? But they don't.
Well, and we need to start on that front. We need to start bringing back the neighborhood schools again.
Amen.
You know, I was talking with a woman back in Baltimore at one point. We were sitting and she was talking about what busing did to her. She had her grandkids that she had custody of. She had to take two buses across town to get to a parent-teacher conference, and it was three on the way back. And she said she couldn't afford to take work off, but that what busing did, she was complaining about busing and getting the kids taken clear across town, that the when she'd get there and the parent or the teacher wasn't there.
Mm-hmm.
And so she basically blew an entire day's worth of work. And she said back when she was in school, if she or her brothers were to get in trouble in the school, she'd be walking down the street or they'd be walking down the street and every mother or somebody would be sitting out on the stoop saying, oh, you're going to get it when you get home. I mean, everybody, it was a community. The school was part of the local community. And I'd love to see that back for the kids down there in Philadelphia. Like I said, I worked down there. I was an insurance investigator. I've been in some of the roughest neighborhoods. And the people down there are so nice, but they're trapped. And we've got to find some ways to help them out down there, but it's got to, that's something that the local leaders in Philadelphia need to start getting their hands around, and including the school district.
Yeah, and so another piece of this, as I know the Pennsylvania Senate had approved the measure sponsored by, in part, you to make punishment fit the crimes for right to know records destruction. I know that that was written about news coming out of Harrisburg. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Well, it absolutely appalls me every time. Whenever there is a right to know request and somebody's possibly going to face criminal proceedings because of what's in those documents, that we've got evidence of it. I mean, the cash situation that happened up Luzerne County, I think it was, and with those judges and the people that were involved within the court system, you also have what teed that one off for me was in when I had Punxsutawney in my district. there was an incident that occurred that there was actually video. They knew that there was video of it because of the cameras in the hallways and stuff. And the right to know request went in about a week after the incident. And then, oh, we're sorry, the video is not there. So, and the problem, go back to the Cash the Kids. That thing was so appalling. And the where the judges were sending kids to these juvenile facilities, even on the slightest charge, and they were getting kickbacks. That kind of stuff, if you've got people destroying records of criminal activity, there has to be a consequence. They obviously, and these were people that operated within the court system, so obviously they were aware the punishment didn't fit the crime, so they were all too willing to go ahead and destroy the records. We got to put a stop to that.
And so in this legislation, it would make it a third-degree felony, so it would have some teeth, 7 years possible in prison, $15,000 fine. I'll take you to, you know, I'll take you to a more recent one during the pandemic, all these right-to-know requests. I've interviewed so many different parents, especially moms. I think of Meg Brock in Bucks County or Beth Ann Rossica in Chester County. So these different moms, by the way, one of them was a Democrat. This whole issue really made her flip and feel like her party left her, and she's now a Republican investigative reporter, and that's the same for Meg Brock, who I believe as we speak today is still involved in these right to know requests, even though the judges have ruled in her favor, because these were right to know requests dating back during the pandemic. What was going on here? And they've continued to deny. I'm not alleging they I don't know if they really deleted or what they're saying back and forth, but not giving forth the evidence and saying either we don't have it or it's hard to get. And it's that whole, this is years now of people. So I don't know if the legislation actually puts a time limit. Once there is a ruling on it, these people should have to, you know, give forth the information. The fact that they're allowed to continue to hide it for years and years. And what average citizen has that kind of time or energy to keep up with it.
Only the motivated. And yeah, you know, it's unfortunately, I mean, our founders were brilliant in the way they crafted things. And I have to say that the ex post facto law provision is definitely something that should remain. But when it comes to creating a law that has criminal criminal consequences, that I can't create something that will go back in time to correct what has happened in the past, but I do want to make sure that going forward we can go after the corruption.
Yeah, that's so true. And another piece I wanted to touch on this quickly was that another piece of legislation that you've been pushing and advocating for is the protection for property owners against, you know, eminent domain. Can you can you speak to that, if you would, Senator, and let us know about why this is important? First of all, why you're pushing for this, why it matters for every Pennsylvanian.
Well, Article 1, or Bill of Rights, excuse me, in Pennsylvania, guarantees to every citizen the right to acquire, protect property. And when the eminent domain law allows for taking somebody's property, and it's supposed to be for a public good, but also they have to reimburse them at a level that is commensurate with what the actual value is of the property. I've got one farm family. They were actually, I think it was Bucks County. They had been a William Penn Grant land grant family, and they got eminent domain by the township out of their farm. They moved up to Center County, and they were eminent domained again, and now they're facing a third one with PennDOT taking part of their farm for a highway expansion. Now, they've spent generations getting that soil composition right, getting the riparian buffers that control the erosion and stuff all correct. If you're forcing them to move off of a farm, there's a tremendous amount of work beyond just the value of the property itself. There's a lot of work that has to go into getting that farm prepared and up to the standard of the previous farm. And they may even need different equipment in order to do it. But let's take a business owner. I have a gentleman who has he had five convenience stores. PennDOT came along and eminent domained his highest grossing store. And because it was his highest grossing store, when he negotiates with the people who supply the products that are on his shelves, they're largely based on the volume and the prices that he can negotiate. And when his highest grossing store is taken away from him and there's no place nearby that he can acquire that has that same kind of a traffic, it just it makes it much more expensive for his other four stores.
Right. Yeah, these are all, you know, issues that we cover in the news all the time, and especially, you know, the stories of family-run farms with the eminent domain case. I think it's a case that certainly hits home. We're always reporting on these, and again, they're kind of dragged through the courts, and so perhaps, you know, you streamlining some of these issues can help these folks and support them. Listen, Pennsylvania Senator Chris Dush, thank you so much for joining us this morning. Really appreciate you.
Thank you, Donna. I appreciate getting the word out. And we better, just a quick comment, the vehicle manufacturers need to keep the AM radios in the cars.
Amen.
You guys are a tremendous resource. God bless.
Aw, thank you so much. Yeah, we appreciate it. Great shout out.
Dawn Stensland from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, real people tell their stories live on stage.
I burst into tears. And I wasn't sure if I was crying because I hadn't been kissed in a really long time or if I had just never been kissed like that before.
to hear fascinating, heartbreaking, and sometimes hilarious stories from astronauts, teachers, farmers, and people just like you, follow and listen to The Moth wherever you get your podcasts.